Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Kathleen O and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Friday, October 23rd, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book and we are on page 12, the sixth paragraph that begins with the real significance, and we'll be reading and commenting on that one paragraph only. Today's readers are Martha M, who will be reading the 12 steps, Reggie O will be reading the 12 traditions, and the readers of our text are Julie E.B., Dion R., and Jordan L. The share ID for Thursday, October 22nd, the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, is 15,603. That's 15603. This morning's Friday, October 23rd, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, the share ID is 15,610. That's 15610. Our newcomer greeter for today is Wendy B., and Betsy H. will be making the announcements. The OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. And I'll now ask Martha M. to read the 12 steps, please.
Good morning, Kathleen. This is Martha M. from Connecticut. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, anorexic, and bulimic. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. We admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2. Came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3. Made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5. Admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6. Were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7. Humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me do service. Have a great day. I'll pass.
Thank you, Martha M. And Reggie O., good morning. If you could read the 12 traditions for us, please.
Yes, good morning. Thank you, Kathleen. And this is Reggie O., gratefully recovered in the Los Angeles area, Woodland Hills. And these are the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and films. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. And have a great day, everybody. I pass.
Thank you, Reggie O. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book. We are on page 12, the sixth paragraph that begins with the real significance. And Julie E.B., if you could get us started, please.
Hi, this is Julie E.B., gratefully recovered in Colorado Springs. Sorry, my glasses here. The real significance of my experience in the cathedral burst upon me. For a brief moment, I had needed and wanted God. There had been a humble willingness to have him with me, and he came. But soon the sense of his presence had been blotted out by worldly clamors, mostly those within myself. And so it had been ever since. How blind I had been. Well, as I said, I'm so grateful today that my life with my higher power isn't just about glimpses. You know, the significance of my experiences came together as I put down the food, everything I knew about it, foods, ingredients, behaviors. For those who don't know my story, I was 300 pounds, bedbound, 6 medical specialists, dying. And I talked about God. I had a profession centered around God. But I didn't understand what it meant to need and want God. One of my favorite prayers in the Big Book comes up. It's a prayer, a promise, a warning, an instruction. God, do for me what I cannot do for myself. I had discovered God had done for me what I could not do for myself. I was doing everything for myself, and it really wasn't working out. There was no humble willingness to have anything with me. Everything was about doing it for myself. But this sense of presence that I'm okay down deep, even when I do things sometimes in front of my little friend group of visionaries, sometimes in the privacy of my home, sometimes at work, sometimes when I'm just by myself and my thoughts go in different directions. Each of those times, I have a presence that can no longer be blotted out. I used to try and blot it out with the food. I can tell you, I ate a lot of food. It never worked. I didn't eat food. It didn't work. Blotting out, none of it blotted out the worldly clamors. As soon as the bite was done, as soon as the diet was over, once again, these loud noises, the brainstorm was right there. And a lot of it was within myself. Going through the steps, I was able to look at the past, the future, and live in the presence. As one of my mentors on this line said, the presence is in the present. The presence of God is in the presence. The presence of my higher power that can be with me, that is someone that I need, how blind I have been. And now I can see and live in one reality. Thanks for letting me share, and I pass.
Thank you so much, Julie E.B., for getting us started. Okay, we are on page 12, the sixth paragraph. We're reading and commenting on that one paragraph only. And although we do value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you haven't shared Wednesday or Thursday, let me know if you'd like to share today. So I'll take some
Christina
names.
Christina J.
Okay. Christina J.
Robin P.
Elaine G.
Dion R.
Ann R.
I can take one more. Okay, we'll stop with this lineup. So I have Christina J, Robin P, Elaine G, Dion R, and Ann R. Go ahead, please, Christina J.
Good morning, Kathleen. Thank you for your service. Thanks for everyone on the line today. Looking forward to the shares. I'm Christina J. from the state of Washington, recovered today. You know, I had quite a big ego throughout my life because I knew what my journey was supposed to be. I just knew it, that I was born to become famous. I just knew that God had my back in this. And, you know, I had many cathedral experiences throughout my life, and I figured God was definitely on board with what I wanted to do. So what were all those worldly clamors within myself that blotted out a continuous relationship with this God? Continuous, because I would have those moments, you know, but then I'd go on my merry way. I was born with a steel-willed drive like Bill. The drive for success was on, and I had a huge ego in that drive. I was not giving up no matter what the cost, because giving up would mean giving up on myself. My dreams, and then what would I do? Since I knew from birth what I wanted to do, what would I do if I gave up those dreams? I spent millions of hours throughout my life, millions, trying to figure out basically two things, how to get over this food issue, intertwined with trying to figure out how to make it as a star, to become famous so I could be loved and accepted by everyone. Stopping when something was not working, no matter how hard it was going to be, that wasn't in my pack. I was going to keep at it. The wounds of my childhood rejection were deep and hard and painful, and I had to prove that I was lovable and that you would love me. Now, the aha moment I had this morning was this burden was on my shoulders. I didn't let God carry any of it. I didn't know he was supposed to until one early, dark, raining morning a couple years ago as I stood out on our porch crying because I knew the chase was over and I had to stop because I'd been stopped. There was no more money, no more means to do it. How blind I had been. His presence that was always there came in like a flood, ripping away the veil from my eyes, my heart, my gut, and my mind. To grasp the meaning of surrendering the horrible fears of failure to him, and that's what it was, horrible fear of failure, because I was a failure at birth because my dad didn't love me. You know, that was my big wound. This was not an overnight thing, being riddled with the power of me. It's taken some time to truly let go and take the passenger seat instead of the driver's seat. In all my years of spiritual relief, excuse me, I'm writing, I've written my stuff down because I can never remember everything. In all my years of seeking spiritual relief, because I never felt right in my soul, I've never found anything that has shown me a step-by-step way of how to do this, this simple practical program of action, you and all your stories, how grateful I am for my life and the gifts, and that today I can live quietly listening for how he wants me to be, how he wants me to share my gifts with the world. I don't have to prove to anybody or anything anymore. Letting him drive the chariot is truly my freedom one day at a time. I hope any of this made sense. Thank you. I pass.
Thank you, Christina J. And Robin P., you are up next, followed by Elaine G. Good morning, Robin.
Thanks so much. Hi, I'm Robin P. I'm muted. I unmuted. I'm Robin P. I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Tulum, Mexico. And, you know, I came into the program a devout atheist, as people know, and I it was my bridge to God. And I had a spiritual awakening of the profound variety. I asked, and God showed up. I starred on Broadway for a long time, and I was co-starring in a biblical musical, and I was a Jewish atheist, and we had 2 days off, which never happens on a Broadway tour, and I said, okay, God, if you exist, please show me your will and help me to do it, and I just got on my knees, and this man, I promise, drove up in a truck, and he said, hi, have you ever heard of Jesus Christ? And for 3 days, thing after thing after thing happened. And this is not a religious prism, this is a spiritual prism. But I had so many profound experiences that led me to God, the God that I didn't believe in, the God that I was so angry at for not being there for me as a kid when I went through so much child abuse. And to be able to find my way and allow God into my heart and to melt all that manure on my soul is what it felt like. It's a miracle of this program. And without this program opening my heart up to God, I never would have been open to a spiritual awakening. It was literally my bridge because I came into the rooms and saw God on the walls and left. And it took a while for somebody to just say, look, just any power greater than the God you already worship, which is, was food. And because it was the only thing I knew how to use to numb everything. When any pain or feeling or anything came up, I would just literally run. And now I get to run to God and his angels and the help that's there for me and the program. And, you know, it's such a powerful, powerful transformation for me. And even though I've had such an amazing spiritual awakening, I've had some profound spiritual awakenings. I still, some days, I'll be like, hello, where are you? What? You know, and I just get to every day, one day at a time, 1 minute at a time, lean on my God and bring my, whatever it is. You know, I'm 5G sensitive. I'm sensitive to spirit and I'm sensitive to the environmental stuff. And find the solutions in the program. I've worked the steps on other things because God has shown me that I am powerless over everything in my life. And God is powerful over everything in my life. And I get to turn my will and my life over to his care. Not his abuse, his care. And I'm so eternally grateful for this program. God bless everybody with a very blessed afternoon day. I pass.
Thank you, Robin P. Good morning, Elaine G. It is your turn, followed by Dion R.
Hello.
We started to hear you, Elaine. Are you there?
Okay. Hopefully I'm there now.
You're here now. Thank you.
Thank you very much. There's. It's amazing to me when we read one paragraph that has so few sentences in it, how powerful that paragraph can be, which has been evidenced by those who have shared already. What this paragraph has said to me today is the how important it is to be abstinent for us to hear what our higher power has to say. Because we know he was drinking, it was said before in the previous paragraphs, and we know from the next paragraph that that's his last time from drinking. So here, this tells me how compassionate our higher power is, and we don't even realize it when we're in the food, because he allowed Bill to get a snippet of God, of himself. He allowed him to see that small piece, and then it was all blotted out again because of things happening in the world. But most importantly, he says those things from within himself, which again for me validates the importance of step four and step 10. And he says he was blind. He was, to me, I don't interpret that as being blind. I interpret that as that foggy mind that they spoke of in other writings. I'm not good about what page those things are, but our food fog that we're in. And so this is perfect for me today. Higher power always gives me what I need to hear, that I need to stay focused on him. He takes care of the food. I don't have to take care of the food. Thank God he took care of that for me. But it's important to lean into him continuously and to give it over to him every day, every moment of every day, because I can give it over to him in the morning and something can happen during the course of my day and a compulsive behavior will rear its ugly face once again and manifest itself in another way. It may not be food. It may be something else, something with work, something when you're outside with other people. Who knows? And so I'm just grateful that it's revealed here the importance of abstinence and leaning in and staying in and being humble, because he says that there had been a humble willingness to have him with me. And with that, I pass. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Elaine G. Dion R., you are up, followed by Ann R. Go ahead, Dion.
Yes, hi, Kathleen, this is Dion R. I was going to say hi, Dion R. But hi, Kathleen, this is Dion R. and everyone on the line. Grateful to be sharing on this little paragraph, which is, as everyone said, it's so powerful. And ditto for the last person that just shared. Ditto, I agree. Something that stood out for me this time of reading this paragraph is when I said, well, the real significance of my experience in the cathedral burst upon me. Okay, so let me go back to page one and see what was that real significance. And only thing I got out of that, though, was the second paragraph on page one where he says, he talked about landing in England and visiting the cathedral, right? Then he said, much moved. I think that's what got me this time, much moved. You know, he doing what he do. He first takes it, and then even though the warnings have passed, like me, don't eat too much, push away. But much moved when he was in the cathedral, right? And then here in this part, on page 12, goes me back. It was like, oh, it burst upon me for a moment. I needed and wanted God. When I was first moved by a power greater than me, before life took its toll on me, I remember wanting and needing and just loving life and flowers and everything, you know, just real love. And after coming to Overeaters Anonymous and being able to put the food down, practicing abstinence and working these steps, I have a better, it's like that childhood growth started again. When I first I thought I just never really believed, or he would never really like me because of trial and error. But being, to have that movement within me again to know that God is there. He said, I wanted him. I humbly was willing, and the promise at the end of that thing, and he came, man. That's what I'm at right now. What I seek, I find, you know, and of course life can get all screwed up, but God gave me Overeaters Anonymous and 12 steps to work through any difficulty. How blind had I been? Oh my God. Thank you guys for Overeaters Anonymous and thanks for allowing me to share.
Thank you, Dion R. Okay, before I take you, Ann R., I just want to remind everyone that we are on page 12, the sixth paragraph that begins with the real significance. We're reading and commenting on that one paragraph this morning. I'll be taking some more names to share on that paragraph after Ann R. So go ahead, please, Ann.
Hi, good morning, everybody. It's Winnie here. My name's Ann R. I'm a compulsive overeater in Northern California. And new to this meeting, very excited to have found it, the gift that was given to me by someone giving me the numbers to find you. I've had a struggling relationship with my higher power ever since the beginning of time. And it has moved me to search and keep being in a state of this is a working relationship, because I had so much anger towards the higher power. When it says here, the presence of the higher power had been blotted out by worldly clamors, mostly within myself, and that was because I had made a decision that God not only couldn't do for me what I needed it to do for me, but God had taken away everything from me. This came to me when I was a young child, and I needed God so desperately. And my mother had died, and I was 7, and I reached for substances. I reached for the food, and God went away, and I mostly clamored within myself. But recently, I was able to be in at a state of looking for something in a refrigerator to fix the pain inside of me, the pain outside of the machine, the pain that I had become. And I remembered that all I needed to do was bend my knee. I remembered that in that second, in that moment, all I needed to do was ask. Because you had told me over the years that God would do for me what I cannot do for myself. And so in that moment, at 4 a.m., light of the fridge, door open, nothing inside that would work, I went down and I begged. And God is doing for me what I cannot do for myself. It's the most fantastic, amazing experience, but it is a second-by-second experience for me right now. I am a newcomer, and I have been in the program before, and I appreciate this share. This morning, it was like I woke up at 6:59, and I couldn't wait to get my headphones on and be with you. So thank you for the support, because you're helping me find God doing for me what I cannot do for myself. And I pass.
Thank you, Ann R. Okay, who else would like to share on paragraph 6, page 12?
Shelley B.
Sherry B.
Shelley.
Or Shelley.
Should I share right now, or you want me to person?
Let me see. Hold on 1 second. Let me see if we can get some more people to step up.
No problem.
Anyone else on page 12, paragraph 6 this morning?
Patty D.
Patty D.
Patricia C.
Michelle F.
Patricia B, Michelle F. Okay, we'll stop there for now. So I have Shelley B, Patty D, Patricia B, Michelle F. So go ahead, Shelley, please. Thank you.
Okay. Good morning, everybody. Grateful to be here. Recovering compulsive overeater. I had a cathedral experience when I was really young. I was raised in a church, but didn't see church in my house, didn't see loving behavior, etc. But as a child, I probably was about 12 or so, and I used to ride my bike up to the church. That's back when they didn't lock doors, and I would just sit there. And something, I knew something was there. I knew that there was a God with me. But like Bill, I grew up, and I did not want to follow what my parents had followed. And I went through the 20s rebellion of my not liking my parents and all that stuff because of the abuse at home. But I had some very tragic things happened to me, and I was locked out of my own home by my ex-husband. Changed the doorknobs on me, and I couldn't get in. And then my son broke his femur, and he was only 4 years old. And I just dropped down in my empty little apartment, and I just said, I can't do it by myself, and I need help. So that was my first really spiritual awakening. But since joining OA, it's just gone so much deeper, so much wider. I can't even believe how blessed I've been with OA, and just helping me, all the people and just my experiences so far, and the hard work that goes into it, but the benefits from it are just amazing. And spiritually, I'm getting my exercise every day with spirituality, starting out in the morning and ending my day that way. And if I have trouble in between, brief little prayers, even if it's just a little help me, God, get right through the rest of this day. Yeah, so I just, that's all I have to say. I just wish everyone a great day, and I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Shelley B. Okay, good morning, Patty D. You're up next, followed by Patricia D.
Good morning. Thank you for your service. This is Patty D. from Matthews, North Carolina. I hope you can hear me. I'm in a grocery store with a mask on, so I hope I'm coming through clear now.
You are. Thanks, Patty.
Thank you. This paragraph, like I guess I had my cathedral experience back in my 20s when I became born again. And I always felt like many of us that I didn't need to have this big spiritual experience because God was such a big part of my life when I joined the program. But honestly, right now, I'm a mess, and I've been a mess for a couple months now, in the food, out of the food, in the food, out of the food. And I think someone's unmuted. And I just, you know, I keep starting again. Day one with abstinence. Day two. Oh, no, flip again. Okay, day one, day two. And it's just something that our reader said this morning that really touched my heart. How she got to the place where she asked God to do for her what she could not do for herself. I just can't do this myself. And I just am so happy and thankful that you guys are in this journey with me and that you get it and you understand. And that just listening to you share is enough sometimes. And it gives me hope, and it helps me get grounded again on where I need to be, which is at his feet, telling him I can't do this. So that's all I had to say today. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much, Patty D. Okay, Patricia B., you're up, followed by Michelle S.
Hi, this is Patricia C., and that's as in cat, in Raleigh, North Carolina. I just wanted to share that, you know, when I was in high school, I had a spiritual experience. I was also born again, and it's incredible hearing about Bill's story about all the things that crowded in on that, because that happened to me, even though I still would have periods of, you know, spiritual moments. What happened was I didn't crush my ego. I didn't give that to God, and I didn't give him everything. I didn't give all of it. And when we read the agnostics, you know, it says that even, you know, when you're talking to religious people, they'll be like, oh, well, I do all of that, but remembering that, well, they must not have applied it. And that definitely applied to me. I did not apply it in the places I needed. I gave some, I didn't give everything. I didn't give my ego. I look back and some of my amends, actually a good portion of my amends are things I did in the name of being a Christian, in the name of God, that I actually hurt so many people because I had knew every that I had the right way and everyone else was wrong. I just had, it just made me feel better to be like better in a way. And I didn't think so. I thought I was humble, but it wasn't until program, till this year when I got recovered, that I really finally saw how prideful I was and how all of those things had been crowding up all of myself crowding up within me to keep me and block me from God. So I just wanted to share that this morning because it just, I don't know if anybody else has experienced that same thing, but, you know, it really does work. Even though, you know, I've had spiritual experiences, like I said, I've, you know, they've been profound, but I've still been blocked. And it wasn't until I was able to give God everything through working the steps, through squashing my ego, and every day. Ugh, every day. And it does work. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Patricia C. Okay, Michelle S., you're up next. And just to let you know, we're on page 12, the sixth paragraph this morning. I'll be taking a couple more names after Michelle S. So go ahead, please, Michelle.
Thank you so much for your service. This is Michelle F. as in Foxtrot from Central Massachusetts, recovered just for today. I had two of these cathedral-type experiences, and I can remember one when I was still in my crib, and I was crying, and I was alone in the room, and I remember feeling a hand, like, on my back, and I felt very peaceful. And then, you know, later on, way later on, I did the go to Europe thing, and I lived in Spain for a while, and I was in a convent, or what used to be a convent, as part of my sightseeing, and I was alone in the courtyard. There was nobody around at all, and I was feeling so homesick and so lonely. And at that moment, I heard, "I love you," and I felt this warming presence come over me, and I felt at peace, and I felt comforted. And I looked around. There was still no one around me. So those were very significant and powerful, but I didn't, you know, get anything out of them because I was in the food for a long time. I was in the food in Spain, and I was in the food when I came into OA, but my higher powers did for me what I couldn't do for myself. I remember the first significant one was I didn't have any meals for dinner. And at that time, I was still trying to figure out my abstinence. I didn't know what to eat, so I bought what I, you know, was used to, which was those Weight Watchers frozen dinners. And I had about 2 weeks' worth in the grocery cart, and it was pouring rain, and I'd done a bunch of other groceries. And I got home, and I opened the trunk, and sure enough, there were no meals in there. So I drove all the way back, and it was only about 5 minutes away, if that, and looked in the parking lot and all the carts, and they were gone. You know, so obviously I was not supposed to have those. So I said, okay, I get it. I surrender. And I went home. And sure enough, you know, I was taken care of. I knew what to eat. I asked. I asked every single meal, and I asked for help from my husband to help me. And my first abstinence was real simple. It was no sugar, no flour. And then I, too, had to get to that point where I was willing to weigh and measure and follow a food plan. And I asked for help again with that. And sure enough, I was able to do it. And since then, like I had an obsession with someone that I just could not stop seeing. And I remember breaking down in that situation, just like I had with the food. And I said, I can't stop seeing this person. I can't avoid this person. Please help me. And the higher powers took it out of my hand. And that person disappeared from my life. They left the dojo that I was going to. And I was so eternally grateful for that, because there was no way I could have given up my favorite martial art to avoid seeing that person. And so, I mean, they were small moments, but that was enough for me to realize that I did have a higher power and they did love and care for me. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
And thank you so much, Michelle F. Okay, we're on page 12, paragraph 6, and we can take a few more names this morning to share on that paragraph. So who would like to share?
Janine.
Jana.
Okay,
Jana M.
Together, I heard, okay, Jana M? Jana M?
Jana. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Janine J.
Michelle G.
Michelle G. Okay, let's stop right there. I think that will get us to the end here. So we have Jana M, Janine J, and Michelle G. Go ahead, please, Jana M.
Good morning, visionaries. Hope you're all doing well today. I am looking here. It says, for a brief moment, I had needed and wanted God. There had been a humble willingness to have him with me, and he came. But soon the sense of his presence had been blotted out by worldly clamors, mostly those within myself. I'm back in the rooms. After a year and a half relapse, I have about 10 days of abstinence right now. I feel like at this point I could probably identify as a chronic relapser. I've gained and lost, you know, in excess of 60, 70, 80 pounds probably 4 or 5 times in my life. So this isn't new to me. I've had a lot of really profound spiritual experiences. As you know, being a student of spirituality since my teens, studying various traditions and just really exploring with that. And, you know, it's like with the food, I go out and I come in. I get into the food, I get out of the food. I lose touch with God, I get back in touch with God, in and out, in and out, in and out. This has been a pattern for a while. And, you know, a couple of things that I've learned from that is every time I go out and come back in, I go a little bit deeper with God. I get a little more humble. My ego is reduced more. I get a little bit more grace. And the other thing that I've learned is that no matter how many times I go out and come back in, God is always right there. As soon as I take a present breath and draw my consciousness to the presence of my higher power, right there, every time, almost laughing, like, babe, I never left you, you know? I just let the worldly clamors, mostly the ones within myself, and the food blot out my consciousness because I couldn't deal with the pain within me. But my higher power, I know, is bigger than all of that. And no matter, I always say, you know, I don't have another relapse in me. I said that last time. You know what? I don't know now. Maybe I do. Maybe I have another relapse and recovery in me. What I do know is that whatever I do, God is going to be right there. I just have to draw my awareness to that presence and to that consciousness, take a deep breath, get present, and I'm right back in the zone every time, guaranteed. So that's what's helping me today. I hope it serve somebody else. Thank you so much for letting me share, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Jana M. Okay, Janine J., you're up, followed by Michelle G.
Hi, it's Janine J., a gratefully recovering compulsive eater. This is a great paragraph. There's a lot in there for me. I certainly need and want God on a daily basis, and I practice my spiritual time in the morning and in the middle of the day, in the evening, and at bedtime. The thing I've been going through is I had lymphoma diagnosis in April and went through treatment and, of course, lost about 25 pounds, which was kind of crazy. And my doctor, you know, said, well, I want you to eat anything you want to. And I just looked at her and started laughing. And I said, well, you know, I'm in OA, don't you? And you know, she said, I don't care. I want you to eat anything you need to want to put some of this weight back on. So I took her at her word. And, you know, so now I put most of the weight back on. I still have maybe 5 pounds to go. But this program and the God of my understanding have said, okay, that was fun, but now it's time to get back with your food plan, get back with me, and let me guide you each day with what you need to put in your body. So that's where I am. And my body is telling me what I need to eat, you know, with the grace of God. So, you know, I'm trying not to let the worldly clamors, particularly now with the 12 days to go till our, you know, I think you all know what I'm talking about, and I won't go there, but I need to continue to have humble willingness to have God guide me during this time. So with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Janine J. Okay, Michelle G., go ahead, please.
Star one to unmute, Michelle. Okay, maybe we lost Michelle.
Hi.
Okay, go ahead. Thank you.
Thank you. Michelle G. in California. 8 days back from an 8-month relapse, and I can really see how, you know, the darkness had to come before the light. But I too remember having a spiritual experience where I was born again, and then I am humble and willing to have him with me, and he came. But soon the sense of his presence was blotted out by, for me, real churchy religious activities, which again was something that I know I needed to experience so that I could, in coming to OA and from being completely defeated by the food, it was my master. I searched the scriptures for what I was dealing with because I knew it was off. But, you know, all my pride, all my self-righteousness that came with, you know, being this really great religious person who I could have sworn was sweet, while I degraded other people for not believing like I did, you know, for not being as holy as I was, you know. I was a horrible person. And I didn't know it. I just didn't know it. But the fighting the food, you know, I used fasting, long fasts, and I'm a compulsive overeater, so everything I read about coming off the fast did not work. I would hurt myself. I hurt my body so bad. And, you know, when I came into OA, I expected God to give me the same spiritual experience to get me out of the food, which was a real pixie dust kind of thing. It took a whole lot of stuff from me, but I didn't want to work. I didn't want to make the effort. I wanted God to just change me. And when I came in here, you know, they said, you got to do the work. I'm like, work? Nah, I ain't that. I don't want to work. I want to be changed. And here now I understand the importance of the work, of the action, of working with God. I can't do it on my own. I was blind for so long, but coming into OA and specifically vision has, you know, just changed everything for me, and I'm so glad I'm here. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Michelle G. And thank you everyone who shared this morning. So appreciate all your great shares and being here this morning with us. We are now going to close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. So, Dion R., if you would please read A Vision for You. Star one to unmute, Dion.
Okay, hi. I'm unmuted now. Hi, this is Dion R., recovered compulsive overeater. Thank you guys for the share. I needed all this. Excuse me. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us as Him in your morning meditation, what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you till then. And I'll pass.